Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Mommy Vows of a New Black Mom. And we're back. I could crack. Favorite line. So happy you're back. So happy you're here. And it's so crazy because I've been thinking, I recorded an episode maybe 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and it didn't save. And I was in my feelings, I was in my bag, I was pissed the fuck off because I had recorded this whole episode, didn't save, didn't do anything. It literally just vanished from thin air. So then I was stressed, which kind of made me depressed, which kind of made me, beat myself up for a normal human error. And I literally was just kind of like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I was like, okay, take a moment, regroup, regather, get yourself together. Try not to beat yourself up. And I literally was just kind of like, shit happens. Because that's literally me. Shit happens. But this week I wanted to talk to you and all my good, good girlfriends, all my good, good boyfriends, my days and hers, he's and she's, about something that's kind of been on my mind. It's kind of crazy. It's a two-parter. Very simple two-parter. The first part, which I find more humorous than that, is about dating as a single parent, right? And the reason I wanted to talk about it, I know we've talked briefly, I think, about me and significant others and situationships and all that type of shit, but it's so crazy because lately, it seems like life has just been so interesting when it comes to me and my ex and endeavors and future plans, let's just say that. And I laugh because I'm like, my best friend was going through it. She was going through it with her current boyfriend and her daughter's father, where he felt some type of way because, I'll say this, the actions in which my best friend's boyfriend, I don't even want to say it like that because it makes it sound bad. Him and my best friend's daughter and her boyfriend are really cool. And they are never left alone or to their own devices or any kind of private moments. And because she's a child and she's innocent and the acts in which she's innocent, her father asks her about, you know, her mom's boyfriend and how they interact and how they react to each other. And something as simple as him helping her take her hair out and massaging her hair after it, because you take braids out, you know, braids cause tension. Him doing something in front of her mother, non-sexual, non-creepy, especially because, one, I'll say this, and I know people will fight and fuss about it, he already has kids, so he's not some creepy pedophile type of, like, luring after some woman with a child. But he also, in me and my best friend's mindset, is an innocent man who I think wasn't trying anything gesturally, put himself in a predicament where now a never thought, you know, of a situation became an awkward thought of a situation. And what I mean, the innocence of something or some act where they'd be like, oh, I hug my uncle, or I may sit on my dad's lap. People who have been through trauma and things like that naturally are very guarded when it comes to their children not being hurt, harmed, or put in danger's way. And I think it's so crazy because I feel like a lot of children have been put in situations uncomfortably, awkwardly. And I think that when you don't allow your children to speak up, bad things happen to them, where they feel like if they say something, someone will get in trouble. And I'll tell you right now, my goddaughter is not that way. She is a blabber mouth. And she's not the type to hide or snivel things that make her uncomfortable. She's very upfront, especially with her mom, because for the longest time it's just been them. So when her, you know, her daughter's father comes and says, oh, I think it's inappropriate, she immediately became guarded, because she's like, he's doing it in front of me. He wasn't doing anything for like 20 minutes of shaving her hair. He's taking her braids out for me while I'm doing something, and she asked him to, and he rubbed the braids out of her hair. Not, you know, taken out of character, but it was one of those situations where someone can make you feel awkward about something that wasn't awkward, if that makes sense. And I think one of the issues was him being around his daughter, him being around her is a big flaw for men. And I think it's so comical when it comes to men and their children who choose or have chosen to not be in their life consistently for whatever reason, love barking orders at the, you know, the wife or the ex-wife or the child's mother, whatever, in these confrontational ways where it's like, everything you do is not a ploy. Everything you do is not an act of negligence, or you're not doing something to put your child in harm's way. But I'll tell you this, because my best friend then felt triggered by her own childhood traumas, she immediately felt like she had to say something. And I separated the conversation in a way like, did you feel this way? Did you see this? Did she feel this? Not about him, not about what her baby father said. Personally, what she said she felt, her daughter said her daughter felt. Because a lot of times we project. You know what I mean? And what I mean by project, we project our own insecurities, our own fears on our children where they're innocent. Perfect example. There's old black saying, you know, when you have uncles and them coming over, you got to put on real clothes or pants or whatever. And it's like, I had a friend of mine point out, she's like, do you ever think that's weird? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, our parents would always force us to change our clothes in our home. So because a male relative was coming over, not a stranger, not a new person, a relative. And I said, you know, my mom told me, and she was younger, a person that assaulted her was a family close friend, and it began triggering for her to protect her children from that same kind of luring eye. And instead of separating the adult, we make the children feel guilty, we make our children grow insecurities, we make our children feel uncomfortable. And when it comes to dating, I think that's one of the biggest reasons for myself, just feeling like I've grown in a space where I'm always going to protect my child. So I don't bring her around men. I talk to her, date. I don't introduce her to someone unless I feel they're significant. And because me and her father are freshly broken up, I don't think it's appropriate to then involve strangers in her life where she, one, will become attached to, two, begin to recognize, identify, then, you know, start speaking out on, mommy, what's this person? Who's that person? Who's this? Who's that? Where it ain't really a child's place. And a lot of times, what I would call bedroom friends, people you spend time with in the evening, or people you're dating strictly, you know, personal, are not people you should introduce to your child. And I feel like there should be a definite timestamp on when you introduce people to your child, because you always go through that phase of, I don't want them to think mommy's hiding something, and I don't want them to think something awkward is about, you know what I mean? And I had one guy friend that I was close with, and he only met my daughter off the humbling that he was in the same space as us in a group setting. But when she met him and she talked to him and they, you know, had a conversation, I was around, everyone was around, it wasn't awkward. But it was like, she started then questioning because she now had a face to go with a name she heard me say. So then in her mind, 1 + 1 = 2. He was someone of importance. He was someone mommy talked to. He was someone mommy was friendly with. So now she feels inclined to act the same way. Friendly, nice, and, you know, intuitive. That's not always the case when you're dealing with multiple people, or if you don't feel comfortable bringing this person, or you don't think this person has a longevity, or you're seeing if this person has a longevity. And my biggest issue was my ex brought a woman around my daughter. And don't get me wrong, he's grown. He's going to do what he wants to do. I'm not going to start that fight. But then it became hyper aware for me to be almost super sensitive to what she's exposed to, because I'm like, kids ask questions. Kids become attached. Kids become intuitive of who they see daddy hugging or kissing, or who they see mommy talking to or laying next to. And I think that's one of the main reasons why I don't have company when my daughter is home. I don't bring up men or people of that kind of like relation around my daughter. And it becomes one of those things where it's not a secret. It just ain't for everybody. and you have to be a little more sensitive with small children. Older kids, they're a little bit more outspoken. They're a little bit more ready to talk. And it's not always cut and dry. And I always say, you know, my fear is dating someone and them becoming close to my daughter, but then me having to trust you when my eyes are closed. And that's a very big gulp for me. Not to say women aren't predators or, you know, people are bad people, but men have a bad rep when it comes to dealing with children and people trusting them. So for me, I'm always going to have my antlers up, my radar up, my mind up when it comes to people being around my child, that it's not always cut and dry. And I say all that to say this. As a parent, watch your children's reactions. Watch how they change. Watch how they react when this person's around. Watch how this person may influence what you say and do. Watch how your children react when, you know, they say, oh, this person did this, or oh, this person was around me. Even when they may be someone at school, someone in social passing, someone they may have only met one time. And I laugh because it's one of those quick questions. I always kind of hold back about dating as a single parent because we always naturally want to date. But then when I see people bring strangers, and that's why I consider everyone around your child is a stranger, you have to be more of a parent than you've ever been, because people say they have the best interest of your child. That's not always true. People say they always, you know, would never hurt or harm your child. You can't predict what people will do. I watched the news over the last year or two where we found different children in bad situations. One of the girls, I saw on social media that her daughter went missing. She went to work and her boyfriend had a kid, and she had a kid separately, and her boyfriend was watching her daughter, and between one thing or another, her daughter ended up dead in a suitcase, murdered. And his child was perfectly safe and fine. And that's very scary to think that you would trust someone. And yes, people go, oh, you trust teachers, you trust strangers. Yes, but the privacy and the personal space that you have at home is totally different. Totally different. And because of that, you almost have to become paranoid in a scary sense. And I am not a person who's encouraging the paranoidness. I always say, be hyper aware. Be super intuitive. Talk, watch, notice. And you almost have to not take fault on your trust issues, but like, you want to know the words and the things that are being said when you're not around. Which is why I always, you know, think it's crazy. People think it's weird to have cameras in your house, right? And I'm not a person who disagrees with having cameras in your house. I think it's the best thing ever to have cameras in your house. I always think you're in, you know, your home and your children's best interest to have cameras in your house. Because those moments where you may think or feel like you can let your guard down, when you don't, you notice things. When you don't, it's a reason why. And it may not always be something in the forefront. It may be how they talk to them, how they argue with them, how they speak to them, how they defend them, what they teach them. A lot of bad habits, especially with children, is what they learn from strangers, what they learn from others, what they learn from people who they think are cool or different or unique. And you never knew that they were interested in those things. Like when they go, oh, my kid just started smoking cigarettes, or my kid just started acting out. There were signs, there were things, there were actions that were in place that made them feel like this was okay. So it's very interesting to see how things play out when you're dating. And I always give the heads up, like, I'm not going to introduce you to my daughter. You probably will see her on my pictures because of social media. But even then, I keep my social media super private because I'm a person who likes to feel very comfortable and relaxed in the things I post. And a lot of the people who are on my social media are people I went to school with, people I know personally, people who may never see me in real life, but were cool through social media. But in whatever sense, you have to learn how to separate your life from the gleaming eye of everything that could hurt or harm them. I remember when my daughter was born, and I posted pictures that I covered her face for like a year, if not more. And people thought I was crazy. And my daughter's father was all the way with it. Like, didn't argue, didn't fuss, didn't even complain when I said I was going to like keep her private. Because everyone doesn't have the best intentions. And when people do bad things to you or want to hurt you, the first thing they're going to do is hurt the things that they know will hurt you the most. That's why when criminals do things or criminal acts happen and they can't reach you, they always go, well, I'll get your family. It ain't because, you know, your family's some easy target. It's because if I can't get to you, I need the next best thing. So I kept her very private, and then I started eliminating people off my social media that I didn't want with prying eyes on my social media. I also am a person who keeps my work life separate from social media. So a lot of like my colleagues and stuff will be like, oh, I didn't see you on social media. Oh, we should be friends on Facebook. No. No, we work together. I don't befriend any person who I can't personally say I kind of know or have some kind of connection with, or I wouldn't mind knowing and seeing my private life, whether it be partying, drinking, smoking, dancing, dressing, half naked, whatever. If I can't feel safe in my spaces where I can share publicly on my social media, I'm not going to do it and not have comfort. I'm going to delete you. I'm going to eliminate you. So, that being said, I lead with this and I end with this on this topic. Protect yours. Protect yours at all costs. Be aware. Don't be fearful, though. Protection doesn't mean fearfulness. You know, when people say, oh, I got a gun to protect my home, people always go, oh, you scared somebody going to do something? You scared you got to have a gun? It's like, no, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That protection, that feeling of comfort is something that you can't take back, you can't change, and you won't eliminate, but you also want to feel like it's in the best interest of you and your home, you and your peace, you and your solitude, you and all the good that comes of you. So take that in mind. Next subject. So, on a lighter, happier note, it's time to look into big girl school, right? And I was cracking up because I was talking to my daughter's father about putting her in, you know, well, where I was considering putting her for the following year because she's out of daycare come August 2022. And you're like, oh my God, it's just October. Think about it like this. There is only 3 months left in 2021. And by the time you look up, the next school year is going to smack you in the face. And the reason I was super like anxious about getting a head start on her school year is because education is a really pivotal point for small children. And people may hate me on this, but I am not a huge fan of public school systems in urban areas. And the reason I say that is because you get a lot of teachers who are forced there and not wanting to be there. You have an education system that is not in place for children to succeed. Literally, my oldest stepdaughter at the time, my daughter's oldest sister that, you know, I was in care of, when we got custody of her, she was in an educational program that was trash, to say the least. Literally, she was reading at a second grade level, math at a first grade level, going into the sixth grade. Those three things should not be in the same sentence, okay? And what do you think her mom did about it? Nothing. What do you think her school did about it? Nothing. They literally kept pushing her and pushing her and pushing her through because we live in a day and time where there's the No Child Left Behind law in place. And it was so disheartening to see someone struggle because she was not put in a place where education was first. What, mind you, by the time she came into our care, and me being a college-educated woman was involved in her life that cared more about her education than how she looked, I made sure education was pivotal. We put her in a free program at our college, you know, close to us. We made sure she stayed after. She got the help she needed. She got the extra education, but she also was in a school program that absorbed the negativity and helped the children grow. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. And my fear was that my daughter loved school, and most small children do. Let's just speak facts. Children under the age of 5 who are in an education program that is, I would say, well taken care of, and it doesn't always have to be private. So my daughter has been in private daycare since she was 3 months old. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, you put her in daycare so early. I'm like, I only had 6 weeks. 6 weeks of maternity leave. And it was only off the humbling fact that I was taking on another job or I was seeking different employment that I had extra time in between. And so I had a very small window to prepare not only myself but her to be put into an educational program that would enrich her from a very small age. They taught her sign language. They pivoted education. They, you know, catapulted her interest in big words and phrases and language and math and colors and things that were super important that I didn't want to stifle that by just throwing her into my closest elementary school for her to go to pre-K. And so I did my research, did my good girl Googles, and started really talking to her current, you know, educator, because again, my daughter is still in private daycare, and I was like, I think I'm going to put her in private school. And her director at her current daycare was like, I agree. She's like, she's super smart, she's super intuitive, she's super, you know, interested in education, and her learning abilities will only become stifled by putting her into these urban school systems that aren't always geared for our children to succeed. I looked at, you know, our school programs as far as numbers and testing is a very controversial conversation. And the reason I say controversial is because a lot of people feel like standardized testing is bad. And that's not always the case. Standardized testing is there to question the education level of our children. And it's there to show the worth of the time and effort that the teachers have put in place for our children, but also where they are on the learning spectrum. And looking at the numbers in a very broad space, baby, it ain't easy being green, in the words of Oscar the Grouch. When I look at these numbers and see children testing below, you know, their grade level and continually getting pushed forward, or kids who have learning disabilities and not being helped, children who need extra care but no one's giving them the extra care, it's super troublesome. So I looked into a couple private educational places, and her father was kind of like, okay, you know, super on board. And not because, you know, everybody believes in private care or can afford private care, but if you can get your children in an educational program that's above board, that's above average, whether it be charter schools, which are free, especially here in the state we live in, there's public charter schools. And public charter schools fall into a part of lottery, which is really great because they give opportunities to kids who can and should be allotted better education, but not always put in the greatest, you know, district or school zone where they can receive great education. And what's sad is that a lot of parents just don't care about the child's education. And you go, well, how do you figure that? when you see your child struggling to do homework and you don't encourage them to do it, or you see your child struggling to do homework and you're not taking your time out your day to sit and make sure homework is done, to sit and make sure they get the help they need, to get that extra moment, time, whatever, to do the things that are necessary, you're stifling them. And so we're looking into private schools, which is not cheap, but can guarantee her success. I'm going to do it. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, that's a lot of money to spend on pre-K. And I'm like, you're absolutely correct. But for me, being that education is super important, and I want her love of learning to not only continue but be successful, I'm going to spend the extra money that I would on hair, nails, shopping, randomness, to make sure my child has great education. Because I always laugh that people always say, you know, oh, you know, celebrities put their kids in these super expensive schools and they always do all this extra stuff. That's because they have success, right? But they can't guarantee the success of their children based off of their wins. So if they can allot the money to go and buy a section at a strip club, or buy a private jet, or buy Louis Vuittons, or, you know, whatever, they can do that on education. So I say all that to say this. Spend the money that you can, and if you can't, do your best to get your child in a better educational program. Take the time to really dig deep into what your educational programs offer. Be more intuitive of PTA and being involved in your child's school programs, because like my parents both worked full-time, hard-working jobs, and were at every PTA meeting, every PTO meeting, every back-to-school night, every program that they could put us in, we were, because they wanted our education to come first, before social. You have a social life to encourage social activities, whether it's friend making, you know, being socialized, where you know how to hold a conversation, or you know how to be somewhat normal in society versus feeling like you have to be in a corner by yourself. But you also want your child to pivot in a stronger way towards love of education. Because it's no guarantee on college, but those pre-K years through 12th grade year, you want your child to get the best education they can. So take your time and really investigate, really spend the time to get to know your school teachers, your school programs, the educational system that you're involved in, because baby, there's a lot of free programs. I remember when we looked into this school program that was at the college right by our house, the oldest, and she was like, oh yeah, it's a program and it's free, and they help with math, they help with social skills, they help with science, they help with all these pivotal things that will help her, and they will be really helpful for her, because the more she learns in that off season of that May, June, July, and August, that by the time September comes, she'll be ready. When she graduated with a 2.7 average after averaging out a 1.4, it was pivotal. And yes, they may not seem like a lot, but to get so close to a 3.0 when you started so below average, it's scary. Because that just means a child like her that really could learn, that was really able to learn, that could really benefit from learning, was missing out, not because she should, but because she just wasn't given a chance. You learn how damaged our school programs are, or why teachers should make more money, or why people are fighting for education and free education and education at a higher level. Because, baby, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. So I love you for listening. I hope you're encouraged. I hope that you're blessed. And I'm out.